we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with Helen Hahn, New Britain Township Auditor and former New Britain Township Supervisor. For lack of a better term, some of us like to think of Helen as the patron saint of Reopen Bucks because she's always been there for us when we really needed a hand with something or found ourselves in a bind. Helen was instrumental in helping us pull off a successful soccer season with Bucks County Sports Association, and she even coached one of our 5 and under teams. Welcome, Helen. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Hi. Thanks for stopping in and asking me to give you some insights.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because anyone in Reopen Bucks, I think, you know, will recognize you, know your involvement in a lot of things, but other folks outside the group might not. Kind of an interesting conversation and perspective. I want to start with something that maybe even people in the group don't know. Summer of 2020, super early in the group's history, we wanted to start doing community events, things where we're bringing people together in a non-protest fashion, but like hanging out and having a good time. We started doing these picnic things and had no clue, like, where are we going to do this? Are we allowed? Are we going to get arrested? I mean, you literally didn't know what was going to happen when you do a picnic.
Right. And I remember I went to your picnic that was at Doylestown Township near the Kids Castle.
Yeah.
And I remember the police came along. Did you get a permit? And I thought, oh, people don't realize sometimes that's
we had
what
no
you
idea.
Have to do. Yeah. You have to get a permit. And as a township supervisor, I thought, well, we've got a good pavilion. We can always use that, and I will fight like crazy if somebody says we have to wear masks. But none of our police officers would have ever come around and said something to us about masks or anything like that.
So you mentioned you're a supervisor at that time of New Britain Township. I had no idea until like a year later or so that New Britain Township was like this awesome little enclave of normalcy through these times. So like you said, you mentioned to us at some point we got hooked up and you're like, I think we can use our park. What was the name? I can't even remember. North Branch Park was the one that we did all the picnics at?
Yes, North Branch Park, which is right next to the township building and mm-hmm. the police department.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, a lot of people at that time, I mean, we're talking like July 4th of 2020, Labor Day of 2020, people are concerned that maybe you're not even allowed to like stand around outside in a big crowd like that. And we had, you know, hundreds of people come to these picnics. So it was like a big barbecue bash, but there was some concern. Like, are we going to have police show up? Are we going to, cause we're not wearing masks, not doing anything, just having a normal time. And it's weird to think back how, like, why was that abnormal in the first place? It's so weird to try to think about it, you know?
It is. One reason I got into politics, well, I was asked by a former supervisor to run for his seat, which I did. And at first I thought, am I the right person? But then I thought, well, if not me, who?
I love that.
kind of thing. So I did run, and I got a seat on the board. And a lot of where I'm coming from is the people are the ones that are right, not always the government. And I think the government is very overreaching, and I really fought against that kind of thing. I know one of our supervisors, after all this started, said, should we make our police wear masks? Or I said, what are you, a Nazi? Because that's how things started in Germany, this kind of stuff. And I study history. And I know what has happened and what can happen. And you need people, you need good leaders that are for the people and not for themselves.
Yeah. New Britain was, like I said, this strange enclave where that was respected. And I wouldn't really get to see just how much that was the case until much after we did those picnics, which was cool. That was all New Britain Township and you, you know, working with us. flash forward a while to when we are getting ready to do soccer for the sports association. So this is after we did basketball down at the NAC. We're looking for a place to do soccer. You and I, again, just like so many different things, it got in touch and you had a perfect solution, a Highlands Park, this wonderful little field that we used. And so, okay, we're moving through the process and getting all the permits and stuff with the township. And I went, this is maybe February of 2021, I think. And I went to the township building right in the middle of this first big winter surge and no one's wearing a mask. The building just looked totally normal to me almost. I was like, okay, what's in the water here in New Britain Township?
Well, that's very refreshing, isn't it, to have normalcy. And that's something, well, though I guess some people would say, what's normal kind of thing. But even with the playgrounds, they wanted to close down our playgrounds. I said, why? We can't do that. Kids need places to play. I mean, I've worked with kids all my life. And the one thing they did do is they took down the basketball hoops at Highlands Park, I guess at the township too. And I really fought for them to put them back up again. Well, you kids, you're outside. You're not going to, you know, you think stuff's just floating in the air all the time to make kids sick. Kids don't get it anyway. So the one good thing is they did refurbish the hoops and put them back up.
Oh, so they had to make new ones?
Well, the kids, you know, jump up and grab them and rip them and things like that. So it had nice new nets, and they put them back up so the kids could get out and play again. And Highlands Park might have not been the most perfect place for us to play soccer because it was not really leveled greatly and grass growing, but it was an alternative that we could use, and we did.
I think it worked out perfectly because, like you mentioned, the field was imperfect, and we looked at some other parks in the township that I think might have been better from the perspective of the field, but we had so many people. I mean, sometimes we'd be running the younger kids and have like hundreds of so many people. So the dual parking thing where you can get in from multiple directions and it's very open and easy access, I think that was really clutch and important. It made it all work well together. Plus, the township was so accommodating and easy to work with. I don't know if that's because, you know, we got the township supervisor here.
No. I think Shell, who you dealt with for renting the park and whatnot, is a wonderful woman. Very calm and accommodating. No, she's great to work with. So when people want to rent pavilions or fields or whatnot, she does work with you very well.
Now, what made you decide, I guess, during COVID was when you decided, all right, I'm not going to run for re-election as supervisor. And you had been supervisor for many years, right?
24 years. By the time I got, and I was on planning commission before that. And I was very instrumental in land preservation, preserved a lot of land in the township. And water resources. I learned a lot about water, and Governor Rendell put me on the Delaware Basin River Watershed Commission. So I've had a lot of background in a lot of different things, and I'm 81. I'll be 82 next month, and I've heard people say, like Pelosi, she's 81, she ought to quit, get out. And I thought, well, I don't want them saying that about me. Although a lot of people said, you should have run anyway. But I did my turn. And it's up to people that really care about how a township or a county or a state is run and to get involved. And then it comes down to the voter. Everybody has to vote. You have to get out there and vote for the person that you think will do the job. Because we are not a democracy. We're a representative republic. So you have to depend on the person you vote for to go in and do the job that needs to be done. And they need to do it for the people, not for themselves. So that's how I always handled it. And I had good people to work with all the time. But things are changing. Younger people are coming in, and that's necessary. I mean, I'd like, I hope Megan Eileen hears this, and I'd like to say hi to her. She's a great gal.
Oh, shout out to Megan.
But it's one of my fellow supervisors that banged her on the head.
Oh, that's right. Cynthia Jones.
Yes, and I hope that people remember that. She's running next year.
New Britain Township is so interesting to me with the politics because, like, Central Bucks itself probably represents, like, the battleground of Bucks County, you know, the difference between Upper Bucks and Lower Bucks politically. But then even within Central Bucks, you have this region of Central Bucks. Like, I can't remember the exact region number, but, you know, Dr. Mahmood, the Democrat, was really the only one who won a close, reasonable race from the Democrat side of the ticket here. But then at the same time, both New Britain Township supervisors who won were on the Republican side. So it seems like it's a very split area and a nice area. There's a lot of families, like a lot of people who care on both sides. It's just very politically there. It's kind of like our little swing township is what it seems like. But crazy to have someone like you as a supervisor from New Britain Township and also Cynthia Jones, who whacked Megan over the head and kind of just got away with it.
Right, right. And a lot of people are upset, and they really thought they were going to have to call out the police. The meeting after that all went down, it was only people that know Cynthia and came out that she called and asked them to come out and say how great she is. We didn't have any problems, despite the fact that they expected it. But that's our group. We don't go out and bash people over the head or get too feisty. I mean, I think I got a little feisty at a school board one night.
Oh, that public comment is one of the best of all time. What was that, June? Or it was one of those really big Central Bucks meetings where they were making a big decision, like to unmask.
Right, right.
You were a hit. A lot of applause.
Right. I had a lot of people say, I wish you were my grandma kind of thing. I'll gladly be anybody's grandma. Because I do have great grandkids right here in Butler Elementary. And what they did to these poor little kids, because I went and tried to help them with their school when they were online.
Totally shut down, yeah.
And
young kids, like, what do you even do?
First graders, second graders, they can't even read yet, really. And I'll tell you, right now, some of the what they're using to teach these kids, I don't care for. I used to teach my grandkids. I taught them Greek and Latin and things like that so that they could understand root words and do well in reading. My great-granddaughter's in fourth grade, and they started some new program for reading, and she's having a horrible time. And my granddaughter said, can you, you know, like, give me her test so I can show her where she went wrong? Or, oh, no, we know it's hard. We're just, you know, going to let them, they'll learn.
Oh, that's terrible.
So I don't know. I don't know where they're, you know, I hope this new school board can make some changes.
Yeah, there's a lot to make up for from the last 2 years. And it feels like the whole dialogue has kind of permanently changed, where now there's a bunch of other stuff that's not necessarily related to COVID, but it became these major hot button issues during COVID that is just making schools suddenly it's more of a political arena than a, you know, about just educating the kids, giving them a place where they can grow. That's going to be a long-term issue, I think.
Because it comes down to the unions, and it's a shame there's not a way to get rid of the union. If you could hire teachers that aren't in the union, maybe you could make some changes. But I think teachers have been totally dumbed down, because if they're really on board teaching transgender to kindergartners, that doesn't seem right, that, you know, that they would think that way. I don't, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the kids that are, you know, affected, and your part of your story is your great grandkids. So to me, a huge part of this whole, I guess, just the relationship with you, the respect that Kiri and I have had for you, as it's been like you've just jumped in and helped us at so many different points. A lot of it comes from the fact that you're older. You do have great grandkids and you decided to be a part of this movement and just face COVID. I feel like that's kind of rare. Would you say that, you might know better than I do, but would you say that that's unique amongst like your friends, your peers, in terms of just wanting to live your life the way you did before COVID?
Well, I guess I see both sides, because there are a lot of people my age that really were very concerned about COVID and stayed home. My brother and my sister-in-law didn't see their grandkids for quite a while, except from a distance. And I think that's a shame. So
it's one of the saddest parts to me is that
they stayed healthy, but and our family's together all the time, and I did get COVID. But I think the fact that before I ended up in the hospital, I was tap dancing 3 days a week and playing pickleball at least 5 days a week, plus working out and keeping active. And I think that's what you have to do as an older person. You can never stop. You have to keep exercising and working out and keeping your body strong so that you can fight off these kinds of things. And I think when you hide at home, your immune system starts to go downhill, and then you can't fight off things. So, I mean, I got COVID. I ended up in the hospital for 6 days. Didn't have to have a ventilator, and it was COVID pneumonia. So they treated me for the pneumonia, and they treated me with steroids and vitamins, and I got over it, and I'm fine. I mean, I've had some scarring on my lungs, but then I had asthma to begin with. Because I think of my life as in 20-year increments, and I've done a lot of different things in each of those 20 years. And at one point, I was a Christian clown, a really card-carrying August clown, which is not full white makeup, but just some, you know, around the mouth and the eyes and whatnot. And you always have to use baby powder to on your grease paint so that it won't run or come off. And got some baby powder in my lungs. And when I got asthma. So I deal with it, but I keep moving. Now I'm only tap dancing 1 day a week. I have rehearsal because I'm in a group of performers at the Senior Center in Doylestown, and then I teach a beginner tap class at the Senior Center. Now, if we have any older people out there that want to learn to tap dance, yeah. I'm there on at 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons.
I love it. This whole perspective of you have to live, you have to do things. I feel like that's the whole question, especially, you know, when you're in the situation of an older grandparent. Should I see my grandkids? Should I not? This is like pre-vaccines, any of this. It comes down to like, are you living or are you just avoiding a virus? And I'll never forget the activity that just jumps out at me as like classic Helen is when you were, after helping us secure a field and be able to put on this big soccer season for all these families, you were like, oh yeah, I'll help out and coach. And you partnered with Donna Bambino, right? Wasn't it? Who's another?
No, Diane.
Diane, that's right. Diane Barrick. So that's pretty free. I mean, this huge group of little kids.
Right. But I love little kids. And I, you know, I've worked with them. I taught dance and gymnastics for many years.
And I got to think like, oh my, they ran me down. I coached the same age group because that's our girls were in that age group for their soccer team. It was not like the easiest thing in the world wrangling all those kids.
Right, right. But it was great. And I loved the fact that everybody was out there without masks. Mm-hmm. My great-grandkids were playing with P.A. Rush, I guess, or I don't know, Lenape Valley, one of them. And they had to wear masks. And then they'd send messages out that even if you're just sitting on the sideline, you had to wear a mask. And that's foolishness.
I'll never understand how that happened because we did. I mean, it started with Governor Wolf saying, okay, everybody has to wear masks while they play sports during the winter. And that basically means like basketball, volleyball, the winter sports. Then all of a sudden, you know, we show up with our sports league, Bucks County Sports Association. We do basketball, totally normal. Masks are prohibited. A month later, the health department here releases their letter saying, no, 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 kids don't have to wear masks while they play sports anymore. So I'm thinking, okay, good. Like, we're done. We did our job. We don't need to have any more seasons or do anything. And then as the weeks went by and we started to look at spring, you saw all of the soccer leagues and t-ball leagues, all of them were still saying, okay, now we're going outdoors for the spring sports, but we're going to still require masks. And I was just floored. Like, this doesn't make... And you're talking soccer, like it's a gigantic field where you're generally, you know, 6 feet away from people other than for a short second when you kick the ball near them. It just made no sense why we were still doing it when the health department said, no, 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 you can stop that. So we were like, okay, guess we're going to have to do soccer and stick with this. And it, I think by, you know, middle of that summer, finally it had kind of gone away and most of the leagues were like, all right, this was dumb. But I just can't believe, like, how did people do that? How did humanity do that?
You have to understand that it's all about control. There are certain people that want to control everybody else. And that's how they do it. They mandate vaccines. They mandate masks. They mandate closing the schools. You have to understand somebody like Governor Wolf really destroyed a lot of businesses in this state because he, you know, picked and he chose who could stay open and who couldn't. So basically, they kept all the big box stores open because they're the ones that probably contribute to campaigns. The poor little guy that has a little store, if he contributes a couple bucks to somebody, you know, but so you have to try and look under the covers and see why would a Governor Wolf want to get certain businesses locked down and out of business?
It's terrible.
And, yeah, it is. And look at some of the people in Reopen Bucks that fought like crazy against that. Kept their businesses open, went to jail, or locked into their businesses or out of their businesses, you know. So that's why you have to be very, like I said, you have to be very careful who you put into positions that will take advantage.
Yeah, that I feel like as we talked a little bit about it from the school board perspective, feels to me like elections now are just going to be wildly more partisan. Like, it obviously was very partisan to begin with, but there was always this like huge chunk of people, the independents or the moderates, who were kind of in the middle. Now I feel like COVID has divided us even further and made more extremes. So on both sides, you're getting, so to a certain degree, you're getting like caricatures of these positions. And it takes me all the way back to, you know, your role as a supervisor there, that you're a supervisor when COVID hits and for what, the first 2 years of it or so. What is fundamentally the difference between someone like you who says, okay, we're going to leave power in the hands of the people, let them make their decisions. You know, businesses can make their decisions. It's not our job to mandate masks on township employees, et cetera. And someone else, we mentioned Cynthia Jones, who is so hardened in her beliefs, she whacks Megan Brock over the head with a sign. Like, how do we get to a point where there's that much of a difference between people's basic belief systems?
I don't know. Could it be understanding history and understanding how some, I mean, they'll look back on certain parts of history and say, how horrible, how did the people allow that to happen? Well, exactly what we've been going through for COVID is exactly how some of these, like say the Nazis, that's how they came up. And although a lot of the reason there with Hitler was because of their poverty. I mean, they had no money. My husband had friends that he worked with that were from Germany, and the guy got really good with a slingshot, so he could hit Blue Jays, and that's what they would use for their dinner that night. A little bit of protein in a big pot of water, something like that. So, but I guess people just go along to get along sometimes. Mm. Just do what There's they tell you. Do what they tell you, so they don't make waves. Just
And this is where the whole like trust the experts thing comes in. I feel like a lot of people would rather just, well, I don't want to think about this. I want to just make my brand or my ideology be, I'm going to trust the experts and never question. I mean, even to the point where the experts are obviously idiotic in what they're saying, like just straight out nonsense. But, you know, trust the experts because I don't want to bear the burden of being able to think for myself.
And the sad part is the people that have the means to get the word out there shut down the people that had the other side of the story quite often, so that you're only getting one set of information.
Lived that like so hardcore because fundamentally our movement was always a Facebook group. Like we did a lot of things that were in the community and in person and stuff, but our rallying point was always our Facebook group, and we had to hardcore fight back against their tools and how they manipulate algorithms and cut down on what they call misinformation, which is really just a meme that's making fun of Fauci or something.
Like, right.
So it's wild. And maybe that's another silver lining long-term outcome of COVID is you see Elon Musk buying Twitter to try to make it a free speech platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be amazing. And that's kind of strictly because all the social media giants had to ratchet down during COVID to try to keep the COVID narrative going because it was so flimsy.
Right. And it looks as though a lot of people are really upset that Musk is going to take over Twitter. And it'll be for the better as long as he does just get rid of the algorithms and the whatnots. And because a lot of people will say, well, why not just start your own? It'll take a long time before it would become as popular as Twitter. Not that I tweet. I wouldn't know how to do Twitter at all. You're lucky at my age that I can do some of the things I do using computers and phones and whatnot. But a lot of times everything is one-sided. You know, these doctors that really talked about protocols that would help you get over the COVID if you got it were shut down. Even the medicines themselves were shut down because it didn't help the companies that make the vaccines and sell the vaccines to our government to take, you know, to make everybody get a shot.
That's, in my opinion, that's the next big story, which will probably unfold like in the shadow of after Reopen Bucks is gone. I'd love to be a part of it because I know some of this, like talk to a lot of people and I know how it works. But there's this massive developing story that this whole way through, it is pharma executives who are in bed with and kicking back a lot of money to the medical system. And more specifically, it's hospitals. Hospital executives and pharma executives. A lot of what has happened the last 2 years, it was those two groups of people working together to make it happen. And a lot of this information, I mean, you use right down the street here from your home is Doylestown Hospital. Key player in this whole thing with a lot of what they've done in terms of their mandate and firing Dr. Atteri specifically because he had natural immunity and didn't want to. I mean, world-renowned heart surgeon, and they just have to cut him loose.
And as I said, he's the doctor that did a triple bypass on me and turned my life around again. But the hospitals, I think, are key players in all of this, along with the federal government. But, there's a lot of good pharmacology out there that kept me going. My mother died at 45 because they didn't have medicines. I've way outlived her. So that's the good part. But then I think they're really trying to figure out how to make more and more and more money. We all have to learn to be honest with ourselves and with each other. And we all have to learn. I don't know. I'm a very religious person, I guess. I really believe in God, and I really believe that we do have to have a relationship with Him. And I think all of these young people that are having trouble with suicide and drugs, maybe they're searching for that, and nobody's giving it to them. The churches are dying. And a lot of that, I heard somebody that wrote a book, very interesting, was the reason the churches are having problem is because of divorce. Because you have two families raising these kids, and they're back and forth between two families, and nobody's taking them to church, and nobody's helping them to learn there's a better part of them to help them through life. So I just, families are very, very important. And I think families are struggling, along with the churches, along with the school. Everybody's struggling today. And, you know, that was the good thing about Reopen Bucks. It helped people connect to one another and help them through their struggles. And just coming out and playing soccer on a sunny day and kicking the ball around with no mask on, you know. And it's so wonderful to have so many parents that want this normalcy for their kids, that they want them to be able to laugh and play and be with other kids. And I know somebody in the group always had arts and crafts for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Megan was one of them as well. She's got a lot of talk on this podcast, but yeah, she had done that as well. There's so many little things. You're right. Like, you look back on them and you think, well, that's just a silly thing. Like, and it was, but at the time with where the world was at, it felt like everything, because it gave people a place to go, a place to feel connected. It's like we had our little community that we all together just carried through this really kind of wild time that we just lived through, and kept some normalcy going. And not just the things that the group did, but you're right, so many people took it upon themselves to just go and start something that was missing in their life.
Right.
And put it in Reopen Bucks, and people would show up. And so absolutely right. We got to pay attention. And I do hope that that's a long-term thing, that, you know, this, our movement, Reopen in general, and definitely Reopen Bucks, has engaged people to pay more attention.
Right.
That could be a good thing.
Yep.
Well.
Yes, it will be. And yeah. Let's hope and pray. I pray a lot.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sitting down and chatting, Helen. Thanks for being a part of Reopen Bucks. It has been fantastic to get to know you. I'm really glad we've had the pleasure of having you in the group, and everything you've done. Just thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I've loved you and Kiri and your kids and all the kids I've gotten to play with and work with. And yeah. I wish I could have done more, been more, and maybe gotten to some of the dinners that some of the women had. But I'm in bed by 9:30 at night, because I'm up at like 5:30 in the morning. So.
Well, you tell me all these things you do, these activities. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can barely keep up with our kids, let alone run around and do all these things. So yeah. It's fantastic. Hope you stay very active. And again, thanks for giving us a lot of your energy in this movement.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you. Thanks for interviewing me. And
yeah, absolutely.
Hi and goodbye to everybody.
See you.